Well, Springfield Contemporary Theater at SCT Center Stage in Wellhoyt Plaza at the corner of Pershing and Robertson in downtown Springfield presents the annual Missouri Solo Play Festival opening tonight, running through January 20th. Three great solo performers appearing in repertory, and that means that you won't have the same show for the entire weekend each weekend. They get staggered just a bit. But opening tonight is the world premiere of Liz and Lady Bird, Whistle Stop, 1964, directed by Rebecca Whitehurst and performed and written by Sheila Gordon. And then next weekend is the opening of the second show in the series, Chesapeake, by Lee Blessing. Bob Bradley directs. He's here to talk about the first two shows, actually, along with Noah Karish, who is the solo actor in Chesapeake, and that is January 10th through the 19th, and Sheila is doing Liz and Lady Bird January 4th through the 12th, and well, I don't know who wants to start first. I mean, Sheila's show is first.
Sheila's up first.
Yeah, right. I'm up first, right out of the cannon.
Right.
Hi.
How are you?
All right. Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate the Springfield Contemporary Theater bringing me back to Springfield. This is a show about Liz Carpenter and Lady Bird Johnson and the presidential election campaign of 1964.
Liz Carpenter was the press secretary in those early years of the Johnson administration.
Yes, she was Lady Bird Johnson's press secretary,
mm-hmm.
And she was the first female journalist ever to be appointed that position. And prior to that, she had been executive assistant to Vice President LBJ. And then when turn of events happened with the assassination,
yes.
Yeah, that's how that changed. But it was an incredibly contentious election 2 months after the Civil Rights Act had been passed. And
the Deep South was not in favor of their Texas-born president.
No, not at all.
At that point.
Not at all. And so Liz Carpenter was also a Texan, born and bred just a few miles north of Austin, Texas, but went to University of Texas along with Lady Bird Johnson. And, you know, so they had that in common.
And what basically transpired was that Lady Bird, and not President Johnson or Vice President Humphrey, either one, but Lady Bird herself would be sent on a long trip through the South, not only to try to sell the Civil Rights Act, but also to sell the new war on poverty.
Correct.
That was one of the major kingpins of the LBJ administration.
Correct, yes. And LBJ was smart enough to know that he and Humphrey just wouldn't, you know, get out of there with their hides intact.
Humphrey wouldn't. I mean, I guess they didn't really think of LBJ as one of theirs anymore.
Not
either.
At all. Not at all. And it's an interesting kind of cultural quirk of mine because I come from the North originally, and
yeah.
But Texans and the Deep South,
they don't really
think of one another as the same at all.
No, they don't.
And so the culture was very, very different. And but Lady Bird had roots in the Deep South. Most of her family was from Alabama.
Okay.
And she was from East Texas, which is the way people talk in East Texas is much closer to the way people talk in the Deep South. And she had that more kind of genteel kind of personality, and, you know, so she could really sell that to the folks down in the Deep South.
Now, what was historic about this in particular, mm-hmm. was that this was the first time a first lady had gone kind of on the campaign trail unaccompanied by
her husband.
Yeah,
that's correct. And it was largely all female organized. They did have Hale Boggs, and they would have local politicians come,
right.
You know, people who were big wigs in the Democratic Party do stump speeches off the back of the caboose. But all the organization of it was largely female-led. And so that caused a lot of kind of infighting and backstabbing within the White House itself. But it was historic in terms of a first lady having to travel over 1,600 miles, 8 states, 47 stops, 4 slowdowns, without her husband aboard the train.
So how did you come to write this play for yourself?
Well, several years ago, I have a history of creating solo shows, and I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that wasn't historically, I had done observational work, character work, but things that were based in my own life. And I wanted to challenge myself and do something about an inspirational figure.
And a historical figure.
Yes. And I was kind of looking around and going, oh, well, this has been written about that person. And I stumbled across Liz Carpenter. And living in Austin, Texas, which I do, I had never heard of Liz Carpenter, which is kind of amazing, but I hadn't. And I started reading about her and looking up interviews, and she was just this extraordinary, huge, huge figure, funny, outgoing, and feminist, and you know, just really would challenge the status quo. And so I did some research about her and stumbled across the Whistle Stop campaign tour.
And Liz and Lady Bird is actually written, you've written it and tell the story basically from Liz Carpenter's point of view.
Correct.
But you do portray other characters in the LBJ White House.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All in all, it's about 37 different characters, including all the press and everything. But so it's a lot of fun and quite challenging. But yes, I portray
Sheila playing Walter Cronkite and Sandra Van Oker and people. No.
No.
Not necessarily. But
LBJ.
LBJ,
yes. Yes. Yeah. And George Wallace. Mm-hmm. And you know, several other folks, Hale Boggs and all of these other people. But the main characters are Liz Carpenter and Lady Bird Johnson.
Right. So you basically get an interesting and engaging history lesson about the Whistle Stop campaign tour that Lady Bird Johnson took through the South in the fall of 1964.
Yeah, yeah. And forged, you know, had a huge impact on the future of women in politics. So that was a big reason why I wanted to make the play about this event.
Well, Liz and Lady Bird, Whistle Stop 1964, opens tonight at 7:30 at SCT Center Stage, and it's performed again tomorrow night at 7:30, and January the 11th, which would be next Friday night at 7:30, and then there are performances. Are they Saturdays or Sundays?
I perform
January 6th and 12th.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend at 7:30, and January 11th at 7:30, and then on the 12th at 2 p.m.
Okay. So there's just the one. Yeah. Well, no, there are two Sundays. And that is. No, wait.
Two Saturdays. I know, it's so confusing.
Right, one Sunday and two Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You have a Saturday matinee, don't you?
Yes.
A Saturday matinee and a Sunday matinee.
Yeah. And so that is the first of the three solo plays in the Missouri Solo Play Festival. Before we talk to Noah and talk about Chesapeake, I'd like Bob to just do a quick mention of the fact that this is, what, the third year for this festival? And how did the festival come about?
I guess it was it just sort of happened that in 1 year, 3 years ago, when we were looking at how we might put a season together, there were suddenly these three possible one-person performances, solo performances. And so Rick Dines at that point got the idea, why don't we just put all of these together and we will perform them. And as it turned out, it would work in January. And so it has continued to be so. And I did one in the first year, which was the play about the artist Rose O'Neill with Marshall Hazeltine. and don't ask me what the other two were that year. I don't remember. But anyway,
well, I remember. Anyway. I did remember that there were four shows last year, but one of them was a dance performance.
Yeah, that was last year, and we did three plays, and then Ruth Barnes, who is here on the faculty at MSU dance faculty, did a solo dance piece. So last year we expanded. We did four. And I think we decided that was four too many at that point, at least certainly. So this year we were only looking at the three. And as you said, the one which will be opening next week is Chesapeake by Lee Blessing. And we're sort of the, outlier? Is that the word these days? We're sort of the outlier in the three in that Lady Bird, Liz and Lady Bird is based on historical actual figures.
Right.
The third of the three shows, which is called Anything Behind Me by Brian Turnage, is an autobiographical piece that he has written and also has performed, a piece about when he was in college. He decided to drop out of college and, in his case, run off and join the carnival.
Right.
Not quite the circus, but join there, and began to discover life was not exactly what he thought it might well be at that point. So then here in the middle, sticking between these two, is a funny little quirky play called Chesapeake by Lee Blessing.
And Chesapeake
is performed by
Noah Karish, and it's, again, well, I mean, the first play, of course, has political origins, and actually so does yours. It's not, it's fictional, but it's...
Absolutely. There are, there's so much in this play. Basically, in my head, this is a performance artist who rubs a congressman the wrong way, starts to lose his grant for federal funding.
His NEA grant.
NEA grant, and decides to do a little revenge. And everything goes wrong from there. And I won't describe what the second act is like because it gets so bizarre. But I would also giggle a bit because when Sheila says 37 characters, I was thinking, well, my gosh, I'm working my tail off with five main characters and maybe 10 in total. So now I'm feeling like a little bit of a slacker here.
What I love about this is that the senator who is your antagonist, you kidnap his dog.
Yes.
And train it to be subservient to you, to be your puppy dog.
Actually, that doesn't go very well.
Right, but that's the plan, though. That is the plan.
It is this quirky little play,
yes,
which has lots of political comments about it. The senator, he's first a representative, and then he becomes a senator.
Right, he's running for Senate, actually.
Yeah. Right, yes. And, in fact, since almost every day as I come down Fremont, I pass a house which used to be called Hall's Half Acre. And it dawned on me, you know, Durward Hall, who was the representative, U.S. representative from this area, he's very close to Thurm Pooley. And so, Durward and Thurm Pooley would have just gotten along beautifully.
So this is actually the whole thing of stealing the dog is performance art in itself. It's one last fling with your NEA funding.
Absolutely.
Before it possibly goes away.
Yes, and there is not only the character of the performance artist, but also he is the narrator, but also he is the senator. He is the senator's wife. He is the senator's assistant, and there are a few other surprises as well. But it is all around fundamentalism and conservatism, butting heads with art and freedom and various other things. It's a very interesting piece.
I have sort of summarized this at various times for people saying, this is a play about art, politics, men and dogs.
Yeah, right.
Now, you put all those together and you get Lee Blessing's Chesapeake.
Yes.
And it does contain adult language and content, we should mention. Yeah.
Yes. Not much, but a little
bit. A little bit. Yeah. And again, what are the dates for Chesapeake?
We open on the
week from
Thursday.
Thursday
next
the
week,
10th, yeah.
January 10th.
Yes.
And then we play at January 12th and 18th at 7:30. And we play January 13th and January 19th at 2 p.m.
And what are the dates for Anything Behind Me?
Okay, Anything Behind Me opens on January 17th.
17th.
Okay, and it plays January 17 and 19 at 7:30. And then on the closing Sunday, January 20, it will play both a matinee and an evening at 2 and at 7:30.
So that's the only one doing two shows a day, on at least on that one day.
Yeah. And
folks can go to the website to see
the schedule. The entire schedule is there. It's springfieldcontemporarytheater.org. You can buy the entire three-show package for $45. Otherwise, tickets run $20 to $22 for each individual show, so it is a good deal. And there is, of course, the $10 student rush. Tickets are available at 831-8001, or again, especially if you want to get a good grip on what is playing on what days over the next 3 weeks, springfieldcontemporarytheater.org, and there is a nice grid that shows, a calendar grid that shows exactly what's playing on what days.
I wrote this down last night as we were rehearsing, and I thought, I do want to get this in today, and that is just to give a sample of the quirky humor that happens. And that is that Thurm Pooley, who is the first representative of the Senate,
Congressman,
okay, the reason for the National Endowment for the Arts was made in heaven to beat liberals over the head with.
Okay. That's one man's interpretation of it anyway. All right, Springfield Contemporary Theater's annual Missouri Solo Play Festival gets underway tonight with Liz and Lady Bird, Whistle Stop 1964. And then next week, Chesapeake opens. And then the third play opens on January 17th, and it is Anything Behind Me by Bryant Turnage. David Rice will be directing that one. And again, you can buy the entire three-show package for $45. Otherwise, tickets per show are between $20 and $22 with a $10 student rush available, I guess, a half hour before curtain time. 831-8001 or springfieldcontemporarytheater.org. All right, that is Sheila Gordon and Noah Karish and Bob Bradley. And thanks for coming in this morning, folks.
Thank you.
And have a good opening tonight.
Thank you.